Good morning, Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
I'm always jazzed to get to a Friday, and today is no exception because it's my last day of work before I go.
Yeah, you just want to go on vacation.
I'm going on vacation. That the awesome tonnage and pacing, that was Joseph Pecky, Democratic strategist, a wonderful voice. Another great voice on the other side of the political aisle, Bill McCosh, they join me most Fridays. Gentlemen, let's get right into it because I want to start with this concept of the power of the president. I had a very conservative guest this week and a very liberal guest Wednesday and Thursday's programs who for the majority of their comments agreed that there are certainly real limits to presidential power. And this president, Donald J. Trump, second term, has gone too far. Bill McCosh, you disagree, apparently.
I do disagree. I got to tell you a quick funny story. So my wife doesn't listen to the show. She's in Madison.
What?
I made her listen to it last Friday. We were on our way to a lawyer, about some family issues that I mentioned, and a lot of the listeners reached out to me, so thank you very much for the sympathy. I appreciate that. My oldest sister passed away. Anyway, she's listening to the show, and all of a sudden she says, Bill, you can't ever miss again. So apparently you guys were a little too much for her last
Friday. Too much agreement on the last. Well, Joe's a persuasive guy.
You both are persuasive guys, and you're my friend. So on the Trump issue, there's a lot of angst out there about process, how Trump is going about it. I think it's important for listeners to understand 77 million plus people believe they voted for this. They don't care about the how. They care about the what. They wanted him to do certain things. He's doing them at breakneck speed that people didn't expect to happen. Some of his actions have been challenged. That's not unusual. Biden was challenged on eliminating student loan debt and some other things as well.
Rightly so, in my opinion.
Rightly so. And so on some of these, birthright citizenship, for example, it will ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court. But for the 77 million people plus that voted for Donald Trump, they can't believe how well this is going so far.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, so because those people, those 77 million, voted for this sort of disruption or
totally
this almost anything is okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think that the cost of that is, now here in Wisconsin, every family that for generations has raised their kids to play by the rules and work hard will now transition to, you don't have to work as hard if you don't play by the rules. That's probably something we can all agree on, right?
Yeah, I don't see it that way. And just
you just said the how doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't like executive orders. I've said that on this show many, many times. The one thing the listeners need to understand is executive orders are temporary. They only last as long as the administration lasts, unless the next administration keeps it in place. So for these to be durable changes, Congress is going to have to act, whether it's in reconciliation or in regular order or whatever. I would like to see Congress put as many of these things in the law as possible in 2025, because 2026 is an election year. But for the time being, the president has this ability.
I've talked about this before, and I see it in Wisconsin, where the legislature sort of hands all the responsibility and the action to the courts. This seems a lot like that on a much grander scale or level. This is, you're essentially saying to the Supreme Court, you tell us how much power this president has. They've already said he's got a lot of power on the immunity equation. But when we're talking about, and I don't know if you're an originalist, but you're somebody who defends the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. He used to.
Well, yeah. I want to give Bill a chance to defend it or not defend it. This seems like a dramatic change in the president's ability, any president, not just this one, to fundamentally change the words in the Constitution and certainly their meaning.
So I can't count votes for a living. I'm a lobbyist in my day job. So it is much harder to pass a bill than it is to kill a bill, number one. This president is using powers that have actually been given to him by Congresses over the last several decades. Again, I don't think the legislative branch should ever give up their power. They're a co-equal branch. But Congresses of both parties over decades have been giving different administrations these powers. Maybe they're pushing them further than the law, the courts will ultimately allow them. But let me give you one example that your listeners are going to understand. When I worked for Governor Tommy Thompson, he created a four-lane highway between Madison and Fond du Lac using what was called a Vanna White veto. We used hundreds of pages of text to create new words that created a brand new highway. You know what? It was legal. It had never been done before, but the court said it was legal. So just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it ultimately won't be considered legal.
We're talking about USAID is the one that's in the news.
Right.
And we can have a policy debate. My position would be this is extraordinarily stupid to do away with USAID. Foreign aid accounts for 0.7% of the federal budget. And China, through their Belt and Road Initiative, is making economic and strategic gains into Europe and Africa and Latin America. And so that's a debate worth having, is whether or not America should retreat from the world and let China ascend. But Donald Trump is afraid of that debate, or his Republican majorities in Congress are afraid of that debate, or afraid that they wouldn't get to do what Trump wants to do. USAID was created by an act of Congress.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was in 1961.
It was created by executive order. It was codified by Bill Clinton in the 90s.
USAID goes back to the 60s.
Yeah, by executive order.
All right, let's get past that. Let's make your point.
The point is Donald Trump is a bully who is picking on a soft target because there is nothing the government spends money on that's less popular than foreign aid because he's like a raptor testing the fences. Do you think it would be appropriate for Donald Trump to have on day one said, I don't care that Congress has appropriated these funds to support Ukraine's efforts against Russia. We're not going to spend them.
So this is the first agency that DOGE has sort of pulled the covers back on. And we aren't really talking about foreign aid in the truest sense. We're talking about weird things that the government was funding through USAID in foreign countries. Drag shows in Peru and
that
things
has already
like
been debunked. Like, do some research, man. Like,
I've done all the research. And today, by the way, Trump has said, get rid of USAID. And that might ultimately be where we end up.
So pass
up.
A bill.
And I think they're going to have to do that.
Real quick, we got to get to break. Is this a pause or are these agencies just going to be shut down?
Well, I think the goal is to shut them down.
Shut them down. We'll take a break here. Bill McCosh and Joseph Peck, we got lots to talk about, including they just mentioned DOGE and what they're up to, including the individuals who are working in that department or whatever it is, and some of the individuals who are maybe not qualified to be doing the things they're doing and certainly not transparent, which I know Bill McCosh loves the word transparent because he said it many times on this show. Quick break. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all the great comments. The thing is spinning today, which I expected. You can join in 855-616-1620. That is the Signing Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. More after this. Keep those comments coming on the Signing Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Quick question for you guys. We're going to transition to the Musk and Doge doggy, I like to call it.
I do too.
Yeah, that's just funny. And nothing's funny about some of this stuff, but we'll get to that. So, a bunch of textures. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but a number of people have asked this the same way. I'm going to ask you guys. I'll start with you, Bill. If this was a Democrat president doing this, wouldn't you push back against some of this overreach, overstepping authority, overstepping constitutional authority of that office?
I did when Biden tried to eliminate student loan debt. I thought he went way too far, and ultimately the Supreme Court had to smack his hand and say, yeah, in fact, you did go too far. And then he tried to do it again anyway. So I probably would have concerns if this were a Democratic administration on that. However, if they were cutting the size of government and reducing the federal workforce, I'd be for that. Right. And that's the conservative position. So, again, I think we spend a lot of time on the how and not the what. 77 plus million voters expected the what? They didn't expect it this fast.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned on the House side because it's the Constitution, which is sort of our document that we hold up high. But go ahead, Joe.
Well, I guess the how matters if you don't disagree, if you don't agree with it, But if you are for it, then the how doesn't matter. Like that,
how you get there basically doesn't matter because you're getting to
the ends justify the means. If you agree with the means, that's how you think this should operate.
Well, listen, I'm 60 years old. This is the first time I've seen actual cuts in government, actual reduction in federal workforce in 60 years. So I'm pleasantly surprised at how this is going.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Elon Musk.
Did 77 million plus people vote for Elon Musk?
They did.
It's a fair question. But let me just put it this way. I am not a fan of Elon Musk. I got off Twitter because he's the most prolific tweeter on Twitter. And I know it's X. I refuse to call it X because that's stupid. But, you know, this group, this agency, this dog.
It's not an agency.
Well, whatever it is. And that's part of the problem. There's no transparency here. We're starting to find out who some of these people are. And they're basically young bros who have had no vetting. One of the guys is a creep. He's got tossed off. They're being allowed access to areas that I don't know that some unvetted person should ever have access to. And my fear is, I said this on the show yesterday, this country has a lot of assets. One of these knuckleheads gets in somehow and shifts a tremendous amount of government dollars to some offshore account that we're never going to be able to track down, and we don't find out about it for a while. That's my fear. There's reasons why we vet people. I've been in the White House a bunch of times. I'm always very vetted when I go there. There's a process you go through. And I don't have a criminal record, so I don't know how hard the process can be, but I still got to go there, you know? These guys just show up and they start digging into very sensitive areas, including our data. That should be concerning to people. But I want to say this because people forget this part of it. I'm all in on the small government. There is so much frickin' waste, and we're seeing with magazine subscriptions and all that nonsense. That was allowed to happen by multiple administrations.
No question.
We always pile on. That's why I don't like the federal government spending like a drunken whatever. No offense to sailors. I won't say it. But you have to have controls. And we've allowed this to just slip away from us, which is why we have exploding deficits. All right, jump in.
But there are controls.
There are not controls that are adequate enough.
I worked for the federal government. I was a political appointee. I worked with a bunch of civil servants. And the scariest thing that could happen was the IG could knock on your door and say, I need every single communication you've had about this contract for, I was working on a website project. I had nothing to do with the actual letting, it's called, of the contract.
Yep.
It's terrifying. You got to go through, you got to find all this because there are watchdogs inside the agency. The inspectors general were created by Congress. And a process was put in place that if the executive branch wants to fire the watchdogs, they have to give notice to Congress for 30 days, and then they can fire them. Donald Trump says, I don't care what Congress said. I don't care what the law says. I'm firing all the watchdogs, or maybe not all of them, 17 of them. And so, again, you have him going beyond the law, and you have a legislative branch controlled by Republicans who say, well, we don't care. We're just going to give up our power. You just said the legislative branch should never give up its power. Well, it has.
And many times. And on that piece, what I would say is, I lost my train of thought, but I'll go back to Steve's point from earlier on the youth, on the Doge team.
Yeah.
The founding fathers were all under 25 years old. James Monroe was 18.
Did they have a Twitter
Alexander
handle?
Alexander Hamilton was 21.
#BigBalls42069.
Yeah, it's a little different. But
and on your point, now I know what I was going to make.
Go ahead.
Those guys weren't doing their job. This is all connected, right? If you are there to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and you're not doing it, then you're not doing the job
you were
put in.
Then make the case to Congress and follow the law.
All right, let me simplify. Think about during the break. If you agree there's too much waste, I think there. I'm in agreement.
There's no question there is.
I don't know what you think. You think it's real quick. Yes, too much waste in government?
I don't think there's as much as you people believe.
All right, so we sort of all kind of agree to different levels of, you know, how much. I think one of the things that we have to think about is if we're going to have a legislative branch, let's at least nod in their direction that they have some responsibilities and rights that we can't just overstep whenever we want to. Think about that. We have a few minutes after the next break. You're listening, of course, to the Friday edition, the origin story of the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky, regular Friday contributors on the program. There's a like a time limit here for the president to do these things, because I've called it legal fair. A lot of stuff's going to be tied up, but he will not have control, I don't think, of both sides of Congress in a couple of years. You agree with that? So he has there's a shelf life on these things.
I've changed my position. I think it's possible he could lose a House, but I think it's also possible he could grow the majorities in both because the start has been so great. I think most of this has to get done in 2025. Whatever he wants to do, the massive sort of government reforms, the reduction of the workforce has to happen in 2025, whether that's in one reconciliation bill, two reconciliation bills. And by the way, we expect the House to release the framework of theirs today, which they have to pass in order to go through the reconciliation process. Rumor is that they will announce $1 trillion in cuts, which I'm like, yes, finally. So I think this is the year. 2025 is make or break for the Trump administration. Not that 26 and beyond is going to be slowed down, because it doesn't look like he operates that way. But this is the year he's got to get things done.
And from the Democratic side of the aisle, do you think there's a shelf life on this stuff? And do you agree with me that a lot of this stuff's going to be tied up for a while?
Yes. The courts are going to have their say on almost all of this. We are already seeing the public respond. They don't like what Musk is doing. They don't like what Trump is doing. It's too much. So today, sitting here, 2026 House of Representatives is going to be controlled by Democrats.
Bill told me that he was also asked this question, so I'll ask it real short answers here. The bromance between Musk and Trump.
So Musk is the waste, fraud, and abuse czar. Czars come and go. There's a short-term position to do these things. I think he's having fun right now. I think he's there for 2025. I don't know if he's there in 2026. He's a genius guy. We may all disagree on that, but he's had phenomenal success in business. And at some point, he might get bored with this. But I think he's there for all this year.
I mean, he paid a lot of money for the seat in government. And if you're okay with that, with somebody saying, $250 million buys me access to the data of every single American, and I can deputize any 20-year-old without a security clearance to have that, if you're comfortable with that, okay. And because he has more money than Donald Trump works for him. That's how Trump has always seen the world.
Yeah, not to be too negative or unfair to Elon Musk, but he's cut the value of his social media platform in half since he purchased it.
Yeah, nice job.
Tesla has actually had some rough times recently because people, as they do after elections, shed it.
Think he'll pay the fine for his rocket left all over the ocean?
And some of his stuff that he designs to go up in space blows up. So there's a little bit of non-Musk love there. All right, we got a lot more to get to with Joe and Bill. We have local news with Connie Weber coming up, and keep those texts coming. Bill McCosh and Joseph Hecke in studio, as they often are, on these Friday editions of the Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. Keeps the texts coming, 855-616-1620, Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Gaza, I'm going to start with you, because Bill's been going first. Gaza, the proposal, look, I watch a lot of the president's pressers. I'm fascinated by him, as somebody who's at least calls himself a communicator. I love to see other people communicate, including our new press secretary, who is not shy or afraid to take on journalists, which I sort of get a kick out of.
She doesn't lack confidence.
No. But I saw the announcement. There was a presser between with the president and Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. And I was looking at Susie Wiles, who's his chief of staff. And when he blurted out or said, it was apparently written down that he had essentially wanted to be a landlord of Gaza. Her face was very telling. Joe, what are your thoughts about, they call it Marigaza, I think is one term, or
the Gaza-Lago.
Gaza-Lago, the Gaza Resort, Seaside Resorts. Your thoughts?
He's an idiot.
I need something more than that.
This is insane. We just spent 10 minutes arguing about what we should spend money on overseas, and now we're going to take over the rebuilding of Gaza that's been leveled and is a pile of rubble. So if you're so thankful that we're not spending money on programs around the world and PEPFAR to save millions of lives, that was a George W. Bush initiative. If you're really happy about that, I got bad news. Now that money is going to be spent to rebuild Gaza, and we will be the landlord. The face of Susie Wiles should be the photo of the year.
Because it might be.
She's sitting there going, what the hell is he saying? This is insane. And of course, they had to try to walk it back and clean it up immediately. This is ridiculous. But it's what you get when you have a not curious president about the world who just views everything as a transaction. Okay, I guess this is what 77 million people wanted.
The art of the deal. So I've learned from the first administration to not take him at his word on what he says.
A statement about a president of the United States, but go ahead.
So I want nothing to do with Gaza. I think it's the most unsafe place in the world, and I can't imagine a single American tourist ever wanting to go there, no matter who owned it.
Okay, so why would Trump take such an unpopular position? Because I agree with you.
So it appears that he was trying to force some other Middle Eastern countries to get involved who hadn't, prior to that, been willing to do that, and he's gotten that done. Egypt has already said, hold on, we don't want the U.S. in our backyard. We will rebuild this. That never happened under Biden. It never happened under Trump 45 when we had this two-state solution thing, which, by the way, didn't work and will never work. So I think it's a tactic on his part to get a desired outcome. My reaction would have been the same as Susie Wiles, like, what the heck is he talking about? We'll see how it plays out.
Is it part of the Steve Bannon strategy? I'm going to read right from his quote. All we have to do is flood the zone. Every day we hit him with three things. They'll bite on one. We'll get all of our stuff done. Bang, bang, bang. Is this part of that?
That strategy is absolutely being deployed. There's no question they are flooding the zone. I don't know if this one was purposefully part of that or accidentally part of that, but there's little doubt Democrats can keep up with Trump at this point in time.
And last time I checked, Bannon's a criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Trump likes criminals. That's why he pardoned a bunch of them who beat up cops.
I just want to put a ribbon on this because we're going to move on to Roger's love and the grab bag. So at this, what are we, 3 weeks in, 3.5 weeks? What is it?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Almost.
Yeah.
You think this is a home run.
So far, yes.
And because of all these things that he's trying to do.
Yeah, that are exactly what he promised on the campaign trail. Not that he's doing new things. He's doing exactly what he said he would do.
And I would argue that his attempts are, if you believe in Donald Trump, are a home run. But, I think it's under review. The umpires are looking up at the box up there saying, all right, what's going to happen?
We got a review in New York on that
one? Yeah, we got to look at this.
It's an interesting logic pretzel to say he's doing what he said he would do when what he's doing is what was in Project 2025, which when Democrats campaigned on, Trump swore, that's not my plan, we're not doing that. So I don't know how you square all that, but 77 million people did not sign up for this.
Let the record show the texters, for the most part, think this is Gaza is just a distraction. Maybe part of that strategy is throwing stuff at the wall and they'll focus on the crazy stuff and he'll get the other stuff done. Perhaps, interesting strategy, we shall see. After the break, Roger's love. What do you love? What do you hate? We'll do that with Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky on the Friday edition of the Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ.
Now it's time for Love and Rogers on the Political Power Hour.
Airs it out. Complete.
What makes you wanting more?
We got to find a way to go win.
And what makes you want to tear your hair out?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Remember him?
We do. Where's he going to play next year, Vikings?
Weird guy.
Vikings is getting interesting because I don't. Darnold's not going to be back.
Don't they have like 8 quarterbacks already?
No, they have Daniel Jones, they have J.J. McCarthy, and I don't know who the other one is. Sam Darnold. Well, he's off. He's a free agent, right?
No, I don't. They could franchise him.
They could. Yeah, that's true. I don't think they're going to. We'll find out. Anyway, gentlemen, love it, hate it, start the way you want to.
I will Jordan Love this excuse me. I will Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
This United States Senator from the great state of North Carolina. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina conceded this week that what the administration is doing, quote, Tillis, runs afoul of the Constitution in the strictest sense, end quote. But he said, and this is Tillis quoting again, nobody should bellyache about that. End quote.
It's interesting that even conservatives, when they say they don't like this, other conservatives say, I don't care about that person. It's like, well, then who do you listen to? Just Donald Trump? All right.
That's a guy who hears footsteps. He's got a race in 2026, and he
deeply fears to run against the Constitution.
Deeply fears a primary.
Also, my opinion, not a smart guy.
Not a smart guy. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we want to do Rodgers first, I am Rodgersing Jill Underly for skipping the first public forum for the DPI race.
Which you see what she's doing? She's doing like her own little circuit tour by herself.
Yeah, the primary is 11 days away, and Jeffrey Wright and Brittany Kinzer showed up with Wisp Politics yesterday to get asked the questions that voters want to know prior to the February 18th primary, and Jill Underly instead held a press conference about Head Start being cut at some local school, got caught by Emily Fannin from Channel 58 and said, well, then I'm going back to a regent meeting. Sorry, I can't make it to that forum. So I am Rogersing Jill Underly's cowardly skipping of the first DPI forum.
I think they call that fear, Bill. Go ahead, Joe. What do you love?
Bill didn't like the fear when Donald Trump didn't want to debate Kamala Harris again, too.
Go back. Going forward. What do you love?
I'm loving the people who are reaching out, asking what they can do. I've heard from a couple listeners. I've heard from people in my own life who have never discussed politics with me before. The overreach by this administration is compelling people to act. Feel free to reach out to me if you want to have a discussion about that. In the meantime, if you want to know what you can do, organize. Get ready to vote. Find people to register to vote. We have to rebuild political power because that is the way to counteract this. It is to win elections. That is the system that we are in. There are other things you can do. I would check out Democracy Docket has a list of 10 things you can do to help be part of the pushback against an administration that is overstepping the law.
Whatever your side is, be involved. Don't sit on the sidelines.
I totally agree with that. Be involved.
What do you love, Bill?
I am loving that campaign finance reports come out on Monday of next week. And what I'm most interested in is the DPI race. Originally, Jeffrey Wright had the most money on the last report. Jill Underly only had $35,000. Brittany Kinzer had $15,000. I'm going to make a prediction for the audience. Brittany Kinzer will have the most money on Monday of all three candidates and potentially more than the other two combined.
Yeah. News you can use from Bill
McCosh. People who run those unaccountable voucher schools have a lot of money.
I want to throw this in there because it's actually a big story. Ben Wickler did not win his candidacy to be the Democratic
chair. Big mistake by Democrats.
I agree. But I guess the Texans are sort of alluding to this. What's next for Ben Wickler? Does he just stay here? Is he a guy that would run for office? I mean, you're a Democrat. What do you think?
He's possibly. Right now, I know if you ask Ben, he would say we got a race to win on April 1st, which is to maintain progressive control of the state Supreme Court. April 1, mark your calendars. Get out and vote.
If he ran for office, what office would that be?
Congress, governor, Senate? I mean.
It's a good question.
I'm intrigued.
You certainly have the ability to raise the money, right?
Yeah. And thanks for the question. Just a couple quick texts or comments. And they're all surrounding Donald Trump. And I'm paraphrasing because there's sort of different variations on this theme. Do you think the conduct or the behavior, or sometimes the words or actions, as different texters said, is what a president should represent? Do you get the gist of the question?
No. Yeah.
You don't? That's your answer, no?
Yeah.
Okay. Bill?
I would say that we've already seen in the first 3 weeks, this guy's had a press conference almost every single day. He explains exactly what he's doing. That kind of transparency we haven't seen in at least 4 years.
Not to make this big a leak, but Charles Manson liked to talk a lot, too. And crazy's crazy sometimes. And everyone knows how I feel about Donald Trump. But I have to sort of correct the record sometimes. Because when I say that, people go, oh, you like the way things are? I don't like the status quo. I hate that. Never say to me, it's not broke, don't fix it. Because that's stupid. It sort of blows up efficiency.
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's dumb. So I can believe what I believe about Donald Trump. I say it out loud. I don't hide behind anything. And also believe there's incredible waste in government. And I want that fixed, as do most Americans, whether they're 77 million or 150 million.
Quick question for my friend Bill, because transparency was invoked. We talked about it in the thread. I just want to get you on the record here. So the work of DOGE, should that be accountable and transparent to the American people?
I think it is. They're exposing everything they're finding.
But the people
work
involved
is not. They are actively trying to skirt Freedom of Information Act laws. Do you think that's a good approach?
I think that ultimately all of their work will be disclosed, and I think that's a good thing.
Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky, the grab bag coming up after this on 620 WTMJ.
All right. Since we got most of the politics out of our systems, let's finish up with some grab bags.
And who better to do it with than Joseph Pecky, Bill McCosh, and our regular Friday contributors. Gentlemen, who's first up?
I'll go quick. Okay. I agree with Brandon Snide. Day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes.
And while we are enjoying the Super Bowl, let's also keep in our hearts the families of those who were killed on New Year's Eve on Bourbon Street.
It's
just very recently, and you know that those families still have to be shattered. So spare some thought and love for them.
Who are you for?
I'm not for either of them, but I'm picking the Eagles.
Yeah. Okay. We're on the same page there.
Took 54 minutes, but we found something we agree on.
Yeah.
Well, it's a trifecta because I think I want the Eagles as well.
I have a message for MPS. I was on a panel discussion on Tuesday night with Corey Nettles for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. A young lady came up to me after the forum. She owns 5 duplexes, and she also has a full-time job. This is a self-made woman. Younger, I would put her in her upper 30s probably. She said, property taxes in Milwaukee are killing me. I'm going to lose all the my renters can't afford to stay in my properties. I'm going to ultimately lose these properties. What can we do with this? Here's my message to MPS. You have gotten $600 million in referenda from taxpayers over the last 5 years. It's about time you do something with that to improve test scores. People are being taxed out of their homes, and they're getting zero for results. It's time to step up, MPS.
MPS soon have a new superintendent. The 3 candidates sort of talking it out yesterday. We'll see what happens with that. My grab bag is Sterling Sharp making the Hall of Fame.
Amen.
I saw almost every one of his home games because I'm a season ticket holder, if you don't know that. And there wasn't a player like him who could separate, maybe Jerry Rice, who could separate on the field like he did. Yeah. And you remember the playoff games, Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, we had no hope. All of a sudden, Brett Favre's back to throw, and there's Sterling Sharp with about 5 yards of separation. I saw him at Lambeau. I saw him on TV. He wasn't a guy that was friendly with the media. He sort of hated the media.
He did. He rarely spoke.
But the fans loved him because in a very short career, which I love that the NFL Hall of Fame has recognized players who had their career shortened by injury because he's one of them. Terrell Davis from Denver is another one.
Yep.
Recognize these guys. They were brilliant and beyond other players' abilities when they played. I love it, and anytime the Packers get another Hall of Famer, I think this will be, what, our 29th or something?
We'll take it.
From the smallest franchise in professional football. It's such a great story, and I'm happy. The first brothers, Shannon, 15 years ago.
That's amazing.
And now Sterling. You know who the second brothers are probably going to be?
The Watts.
Well,
JJ's, the Watts will get there.
TJ's still playing, so it's going to be
But he'll be one.
Yeah, that'll be another one. But I think Eli will get in, and then that'll be the 2 Manning brothers.
I don't care if it gets in the Hall of Fame. I just want to keep watching the Manning cast. Keep that format.
They are good.
That's
they
brilliant good. TV. Gentlemen, have a great... I will be gone next week. You'll be doing the shows.
We'll be doing it.
Yeah. What'll that be like?
No referee.
Yeah. The referee's going to be on vacation. Thanks for all the nice comments. Great text today. As always, appreciate you listening. This is a different kind of a radio than you typically get in this city, in this state, but we appreciate you take the time to find us. Bill and Joe... And nobody else next Friday. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.